Now, of all the doctrines which the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ has revealed unto us, perhaps the most difficult to human thought is the actual resurrection of a body from corruption and decay. We know what happens to the body after the spirit leaves the body, after a person dies. The body rots and decays and goes back to the dust. And the scripture teaches that and promises to believers a perfection of body and soul. Not only a perfection of soul, but a perfection of body. The scripture teaches that that body, which has been buried and which has degenerated and gone back to the dust, that body will be brought forth in perfection from the grave in the image of Christ and enjoy an eternity of glory and happiness and joy on a new earth and a new heaven. If you'll turn to Luke 24, I'll show you where our Lord actually demonstrated the new body, the resurrected body, to his disciples after our Lord died. Now, he never saw corruption. He never saw corruption. But our Lord came forth from the grave. His body was raised. That's what Scripture said. God raised him from the dead. And he's the first fruits of them that shall be raised from the dead. And the other fruits are going to be like the first fruits. Our body is going to be like his. And here in Luke 24, verse 36, "And as they thus spake," Jesus, now watch this, himself. It's the same person. How many times do the apostles say, "This same Jesus"? This same Jesus, this same Jesus whom you crucified, hath God raised up, himself. You know, when Job said, "I shall see the Lord," himself, myself, himself. Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, "Peace be unto you." And they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they'd seen a spirit. And he said unto them, "Why are you troubled? Why do thoughts arise in your heart? Behold my hands and feet, it is I myself." That's what I'm trying to say to you. When Christ arose from the grave, it wasn't another person, it was himself. He said, "Myself." And then secondly, they thought it was a spirit, but he says here in verse 9, "Behold my hands and my feet, it is I myself, handle me and see, for spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have." Our Lord came forth from the tomb, myself, flesh and bones. You'll see in 1 Corinthians 15, glorified flesh, but flesh. He said there's several kinds of flesh. There's the flesh of birds and the flesh of beasts and the flesh of men. And there's glorified flesh. Not the same flesh. But first, it's same person. Secondly, flesh and bones. Thirdly, he said, look at here, "Handle me. Reach out and touch me." Why did he say, "Behold my hands and my feet"? Why didn't he say, "Behold my head, my face"? When he held out those hands, they were undeniable marks. The wounds in his hands and his feet. That's where the nails were. It's I myself. He said, that's what I'm telling you. A spirit doesn't have handle me. And then look here. See those nail prints? Look at my feet. I myself. They still didn't believe. They were still troubled. Verse 40. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and feet, and while they yet believed not, for joy, they were so happy, they just can't be so. It's too wonderful to be true. I just can't believe it. I can't believe it. He said, have you here any meat? They gave him a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb, and he took it, and he ate before them. Now, is there any, did he leave any doubt whatsoever? This man died, taken down from the cross and treated like any other dead carcass, wrapped in linen and put in a tomb, and lay there 3 days. And the only reason he didn't see corruption, he's the Son of God. He's the Lord Jesus. He can't see corruption. There's no corruption in him. You and I rot from the inside. Not just the water and the dust that gets us. It's the corruption within us, flesh. But 3 days later, he came forward. He said, it's I myself. I have flesh and bones. Touch me. Look at my hands and feet. If there's any doubt in your mind, and they still didn't believe for joy, and he sat down and ate. You see, the apostles went forth preaching two doctrines for which they were stoned, hated, imprisoned, and finally put to death. Every one of them was put to death but one. John was exiled on the Isle of Patmos and died 90 years old, something like that. But the rest of them were despised and hated and imprisoned and stoned and every imaginable thing done to them. Because of two doctrines. The first one is this, salvation by the grace of God. Not by works, by grace. Not by ceremony and tradition, by his grace through the blood of Jesus Christ. Through the obedience and righteousness and blood of his dear Son. And that by faith. Now you understand that and you love it. But the natural man, especially the natural religious man, doesn't love that gospel. That gospel of grace alone. God elected a people, chose them in Christ before the world. I'll be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I'll be merciful to whom I will be merciful. If God owes a man anything, it's not grace. It's debt. If we deserve His kindness and favor, it's not mercy, it's death. It's by grace. Salvation's of the Lord. In its origination, in its execution, in its application, in its sustaining power, in its ultimate glory. It's all of God. He's the author and finisher of our faith. By grace. And it's by the obedience and death of Christ. He walked the winepress of God's wrath alone, 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 by himself, purged our sins, paid the debt, paid it in full, satisfied God's justice, enabled God to be just and justified, fulfilled a perfect holiness, every jot and tittle. And we were accepted in the Beloved. And that's not by works, that's by faith, by grace. So you're saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's the gift of God. It's not of works. We're his workmanship. It's a free gift of God, the free grace of God, the free mercy of God. And all through Christ Jesus alone. Christ, our hope. Christ, our life. Christ, our salvation. Christ, our sanctification. Christ, our righteousness, Christ, our redemption. Christ is all and in all. It's him. It's a free gift of God. And he keeps us by his grace. We're kept by the power of God. To an inheritance, eternal, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God, through faith. Not through your works, through your faith. And the second doctrine that was equally hated and despised was the resurrection of the dead. Did you know that? The resurrection of the dead. Rejected and denied, the resurrection of the dead. These two stand together. Redemption and restoration. They stand together. He redeemed us soul and body. Soul and body. And that's what I read to you a little while ago in John 6. Turn over there a moment. In John chapter 6. We shall be raised. Who's going to be raised? Whom will he raise? Whom will he raise from the dead? Are you going to be raised? Am I? He said in verse 39, this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I'll lose nothing but raise it up again at the last day. That's the person he's going to raise, the one God gave him. That's right. Whom he foreknew, he predestinated to be conformed to his image. Whom he predestinated, he called. Whom he called, he justified. Whom he justified, he's going to glorify. He said, every one my Father gave me, we'll raise him up. I'm going to raise him up. It goes together. If the Father gave a person to him, he's got to raise him. He's got to raise him. He said, of all that you've given me, I lost nothing. All right, look at the next verse. This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son, you may know, you got to see him by faith, see him in the Word, see him on the cross, see him in the gospel, see him fulfilling all your righteousness, see him by faith. I see. He that seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I'm going to raise him up. That's who I'm going to raise. One that sees the Son and believes on him. I'm going to raise him up. I'm going to raise everyone to... See how these things go? I see how when they went forth preaching grace, I watch it. I said, grace of God, the blood of Christ, and faith. And he said, the grace of God, everybody he gave me, I'm going to raise him. And everybody who sees me, crucified, buried, and risen, sees me in redemption, believes I redeemed them. I redeemed them alone by myself. I'm going to raise him. And who else he going to raise? Well, let's see. Verse 44. No man can come to me, believe on me, except my Father which sent me draw him, and I'm going to raise him up at the last day. Has God drawn you by faith? Has God Almighty opened your heart to receive, to believe, to receive this gospel, to love it? Do you believe on Christ? Has he drawn you? Look at verse 45. It's written in the prophets, they're going to be taught of God. Taught of God. Every man that hath heard and learned of the Father, he comes to me. And I'll raise him up at the last day. But that's not hard to see, is it? The disciples went forth preaching what I'm trying to preach this morning. Salvation by grace, not by Jewish law and ceremony and duties and traditions and sacrifices and holy days and Sabbaths. By grace, the grace of God through the blood of Christ, by faith. And Christ said, everybody who's a recipient of his grace, his sovereign, eternal, free grace, he gave them to me. I'm going to raise them up at the last day. And everybody washed in the blood, redeemed by the Lamb, I'm going to raise him up. And everybody who hears this gospel in a supernatural fashion, and my Father enlightens the mind and the heart and draws him to me, I'm going to raise him up. They go together. You see, the Old Testament believers look forward to the resurrection. I told you last Sunday, Abraham took his son to the mountaintop to sacrifice him because, listen, he accounted that God was able to raise Isaac from the dead. Even, the word says, from the dead. As a foundation of Abraham's faith, he believed God and believed God could raise the dead. Job said this, though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh, what did our Lord say to the disciples? A spirit doesn't have flesh and bone. And Job, the oldest writer, said, in my flesh, I'm going to see God. I myself. Not another. I myself. David, thou wilt not leave my body in the grave. Daniel, those who sleep in the dust shall rise. Isaiah, thy dead men shall live. Thy dead men. And with my dead body shall they all rise. Hosea said, he'll raise us up and we'll live in his sight. I will raise him up. That's what our Lord says here. I will raise him up. Hosea said that in the Old Testament. He'll raise us up and we'll live in his sight. Now, if you check the New Testament, the apostles' message was the same. They preached Christ and him crucified and the resurrection of the dead. When they chose an apostle to take the place of Judas, the scripture said he must be a witness of the resurrection of our Lord. Peter's message on Pentecost, what was it? Basically, largely a declaration of Christ's resurrection. He said, you crucified him. They knew that. They knew Jesus Christ died on the cross, didn't they? They put him there. And Peter followed it up with, God didn't leave him there. You put him there. God raised him from the dead. The disciples were arrested and put in jail in Acts 4 for what? Preaching the resurrection. Paul was accused on Mars Hill of preaching strange gods because he preached Christ and the resurrection. In Acts 17:32, when Paul finished his message on Mars Hill, it says they, when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, they mocked. Paul was called in question in chapter 23 of the book of Acts for preaching the resurrection of the dead. And I'll tell you, if you'll turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul tells us the problems if there is no resurrection. If there's no resurrection, if what we're preaching this morning is not true, we are faced with great problems. Great problems. 1 Corinthians 15:13, listen. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, our preaching is vain and your faith is vain. Verse 15, and we've found false witnesses of God. We've lied on God. Because we've testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. If the dead rise not, then is Christ not raised. And if Christ be not raised, listen, your faith is vain. You're yet in your sins. Those which have fallen asleep in Christ are perished, all of your loved ones. And watch this. If in this life only we have hope in Christ. If this all, that's what he said. Is there no resurrection? Is this all we have? Even in Christ, is this all we have? Then we are all men most miserable. If this is life, if this, Dan, if this is life, and it ends and no resurrection. Won't take the same train I'm taking out? That's right. There's no resurrection. But here's the summary. Philippians chapter 3. Here's the summary. Oh, I love this scripture here. Here's the summary. Philippians 3 verse 20. Philippians 3, verse 20. For our conversation, our citizenship, is in heaven. It's in heaven. Our citizenship, my home, my family, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change, our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things under himself. Our citizenship's in heaven, from whence we look for our Savior, who shall change this vile body into what? That it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, glorified body. Now then, here's the big problem. Here's the big question, and some of you sitting there asking this question, well, how are the dead raised? And with what body do they come? How are the dead raised? We know this body, you don't want anything to do with dead bodies. The body's dead and it's buried, it rots, it decays, it goes back to the dust. When they find a body that's been dead for a while, they put it in a plastic zipper bag and close it up, and people wear rubber gloves and masks and all these things. That the deterioration of the body is terrible, and that presents a problem. But let me say this to you. Now listen to this. Listen right here very carefully. The deterioration of the body presents a problem to us as far as the resurrection is concerned. But rather than presenting a problem, the corruption of the body is a necessity if there's to be a resurrection. It's not an objection. It's a necessity. Christ said, if a corn of wheat abides alone, nothing happens. But if it dies, it brings forth many, many grains. So the death of that seed and the corruption and germination of that seed, rather than being an objection, it's a necessity. In other words, you got a corn of wheat, it'll be just like that from now on, unless it dies, unless it's buried. And then it springs forth life. Let me show you that here in 1 Corinthians 15. Turn there just a moment. Paul gives us that same picture. He says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 35, but some man will say, how are the dead raised up? Now listen real carefully to me now. How are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou plantest, sowest, is not quickened except it die. In other words, your seed that you plant in your garden, they don't live unless they die unless you plant them. And that which you sow is not the body that shall be, it's just bare grain, maybe of wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as it pleased him to every seed his own body. Let me show you how that we see the resurrection every day and take it for granted. Every day. Resurrection. Now listen to me. Here's a seed. Seed of corn. You put it in the ground. And it dies. It rots. It decays by water and dirt for days. It's left in the ground for days. Soon, as a little green blade appears, which grows and grows until it becomes a tall stalk of corn and a full ear of corn. Now I ask you, is this the same corn you planted? Yes, sir. Of course, it came right up where you put it in the ground. You put it in the ground, didn't you? You took the corn and put it in the ground. And in the same thing, out of that corn came the full stalk. And everyone takes that for granted. Why don't we stand over that stalk and say, how can this be? No, we take it for granted. We plant seeds. Every year you ladies plant flowers. That beautiful flower comes up. Is that the same thing you planted? Yeah. Different form, but the same thing. Right where you planted it. We do that every year. And these beautiful vegetables come up and they fill our tables and we don't marvel. We take it for granted. Here's a stalk of corn 5 or 6 feet high with all those plush, delicious grains of corn. A few days ago, it lay in my hand as a shriveled, wrinkled seed and it rotted in the ground. And nobody doubts that. Nobody in this world doubts that it's the same corn that I put in the ground. It's the same corn. Is it not the same corn I put in the ground? It's standing over my head now, luscious and beautiful. And nobody argues. Take it for granted. No one doubts it's the same. The new corn came out of the old corn. That's the resurrection of this body. This body one day, who made that corn live? God did. Who gave it the body? God did. And he's going to raise us up. Listen, the same body, this body, one day, going to be buried. And when that time comes, it's going to be a wrinkled, shriveled, old, worthless, no beauty about it. It'd be fit for nothing but burying. Like Abraham said over there in Genesis 23, he said, would you give me some land to bury my dead out of my sight? They're not pretty. They're not pretty. But when the trump of God sounds and the Lord Jesus descends from heaven, that body that you planted shall come forth in the full flower of beautiful womanhood or manhood, in a body worthy of him who made it. The resurrection depends on how big your God is. That's right. Faith in the resurrection depends on how big your God is. What kind of body are we going to have after the resurrection? It'll be worthy of him who made it. He made Adam and Eve and stood back and said, it's good. And when he remakes your body and my body, he's going to say, it's good. And while these bodies, resurrected bodies, will be oh so different, they'll be the same body you planted. Like that corn. I planted that corn. I looked at it. There it is. I put it there. And right there from it came. And I take it for granted. Take it for granted. Let me show you one other thing. Turn one page, 1 Corinthians 15. Now listen to me. 1 Corinthians 15:42. Now listen to this. So is the resurrection of the dead. It's sown in corruption. What is corruption? Well, these bodies are frail bodies. They're subject to disease, to decay, and death. This body is a vessel of clay. It has the principle of decay and of corruption. The nature, it's sown, it's planted, it's buried in corruption. Look, it'll be raised in incorruption. My new body is going to be raised without the possibility of wear, without the possibility of sickness, without the possibility of pain, without the possibility of any suffering, mental, emotional, or physical, without the possibility of any violence or death in any form, indestructible, incorruptible. You remember for 40 years that Israel's shoes and clothes didn't wear out? They wore the same clothes and the same shoes 40 years. God mentions that twice. He said, you remember that? My new body will never wear out. It's hard to even visualize it. You get so tired at the end of the day. Never grow tired again. Won't wear out.
Listen, it's sown, verse 43, it's sown in dishonor.
What is dishonor? Well, this body is subject to deformity that makes it ugly. It's subject to losses which make it useless. There are people that can't even use their arms. They've had strokes. They drag a foot. It's subject to bruises and wounds and sores which cause pain. It's subject to age and weariness and sin. It's sown in dishonor, is raised in glory. That new body will have unblemished holiness. That new body will be in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ Himself, like unto His glorious body. Isn't that what it said? It'll be without mark, without spot, without wrinkle, a beauty and delight to the eyes. Naked and not ashamed. It's buried, look at the next line, it's buried in weakness. What is the weakness? Well, I'll tell you, this body is weak in ability to work without growing tired. This body is weak in the ability to think without thinking foolishness. This body is weak, too weak to live without sin. This body is too weak to continue without dying. It's weak. But He said, I'm going to raise it in power. No emotional, physical, or mental burden will ever present itself to my new body. God will wipe away all tears from their eyes. No more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain. And our eyes shall see unlimited distances. And our ears will hear with perfection. And our memory will never fail. You talk about a computer. They ain't invented one yet like this mind. The new mind. Never forget. The mind will never forget. And it shall know as it has been known. Comprehend all things. Won't that be something? And this heart shall love perfectly.
He said it's buried a natural body. The natural body and mind is the source of all fleshly lust. And the flesh lusteth against the spirit. The natural body shall be no more. It'll be raised a spiritual body, holy in its desires, in its thoughts, in its feelings, in its wants. Gonna be like Christ. There's a very old woman who lives in a very old house, and she's lived there all of her life. The house is now old and broken down. She was born in that house, and she's been there all these 90 some odd years, and it's cold in the winter and it's hot in the summer, and the windows are small and dark, and the roof leaks. And the foundation is crumbling. And she often feels like a prisoner in that old house. And she often cries at night, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this house of death? One day her landlord comes by. And he calls to her. And he says, come with me. I'm going to build a new house for you. I'm going to tear down your old house that you've lived in all your life. Old broken down house. I'm going to destroy every remembrance of it and build you a new one. Now you come and live in my house. while I'm tearing down your old house. So he does so. Every board is ripped up. Every stone falls to the ground. The foundation is dug up. Scarcely anything remains except where it was. The memory of where it was. Soon the new house is finished. The foundations are the eternal stone that'll never crumble. The walls are precious stones and jasper. And the gates are pure gold, and the windows are pure and beautiful and clean, looking out over the river of life. And the landlord says to her, "Now, my friend, move back into your new house and never leave it. It'll be home forever and forever." And that's what our Lord is doing. This old house, some fella sang about it one time. Well, it's true. If our earthly house of this tabernacle be dissolved, we have a building of God, eternal in the heaven, not made with hands. It'll soon be ours. Resurrection. I'll raise him up.